Right now on the Daily Debrief.
John was trying to protect me.
That's what this defendant's girlfriend said after a deadly shooting.
Did you need Sean's protection?
No.
That's what she said on the witness stand. The defense says,
Your Honor, it's a prior inconsistent statement.
We sort out a Tennessee murder trial. Also, a white defendant confronts an African-American woman who parked in a handicapped spot. Her boyfriend shoves him, so he shoots him dead. Compare the video with the defendant's statements to police.
What happens if I told you that I looked at the video and then he actually takes a step back? I disagree.
The Daily Debrief recaps the day in court. It's Thursday, August 22nd.
Welcome to the Debrief, everybody. Aaron Keller, along with Gwendolyn Lindsay Jackson and Brian Buckmeyer. Opening statements happened yesterday, day two of testimony now, in the case of a Florida man shot and killed after a fight involving a handicapped parking space.
The case that is set for trial today is State of Florida versus Michael Draca.
Michael Draca is accused of manslaughter with a firearm for gunning down Marquise McLaughlin. Prosecutors say this surveillance video shows Draca confronting the victim's girlfriend for parking in a handicapped space without a permit. During the confrontation, the victim walks outside and shoves Draca to the ground. Draca, a concealed carry permit holder, pulls his gun. He says the victim made a twitch, so he fired and claims self-defense. The footage shows the victim turning away from the defendant just before he reacts from being shot. But the defense says the victim's hand movements could have been interpreted as an attempt to grab a weapon.
Here's how the prosecution described the incident you just saw.
It's the defendant, and he confronts Brittany Jacobs, and he starts in about her parking in a handicapped spot. But watch, because you're going to be able to see this. Watch what he does when he goes into that, when he approaches that car. He parks his car, he gets out, he walks around that car, peeking in the windows of her car, walks to the back of the car, the front of her car, looking in the windows. She's concerned. She's by herself. She has two young babies in the car. And here's some crazy guy walking around the car.
Objection, Your Honor. All right, overruled.
Here's some guy walking around her car that she has never met before. And he starts in out. And this is ironic. He's not parked legally. He's parked not even in a spot. He pulls up in a non-parking spot to complain about her parking. Are you handicapped? What's it to you? Are you, in and in, arguing?
The defense told the jury to watch that video closely and in real time.
Look at Mr. Jacob's neck. The whiplash, the force of the blow, and he landed. Jump ahead a little bit. When you hear that there was a little injury, the force was so strong that it tore a hole in his shirt. And during his interview with law enforcement, during his voluntary interview with law enforcement, that he didn't have to give, he had to make a makeshift sling because he had hurt his arm. You have the threat that my man is going to F you up. You have her exiting the car, and then you have the sudden shove, the sudden push that caused him to hit that concrete hard. And in that instance, in the bout, remember, from the time of the push to the time that the gun was withdrawn and discharged, it's about 3 to 4 seconds. 3 to 4 seconds before the discharge took place. And within those 3 to 4 seconds, Mr. Draper, in his mind, what is about to happen to me? Did I see Ms. Jacobs come out? I've been blindsided and shoved. I see a gentleman looming in the background. And I see Mr. McLaughlin lifting up his pants. Let's get to the truth of what happened. 11 seconds on the jury, that's all it took. And unfortunately, the action Mr. McLaughlin took resulted in this. I'm not blaming here to assign blame. I'm here to explain. There's justifiable homicide, there's excusable homicide, and then there's self-defense.
One of the first witnesses was a man who got into a fight with the defendant a few months before the shooting of Marquise McLaughlin. This witness parked in a handicapped spot while he ran inside and grabbed a drink. The defendant started taking pictures, and that's when things blew up.
He stated that a family member, a mom or something like that, is handicapped. I asked him, is your family member here at this time? He stated no. And
did it escalate?
Yes.
All right. Tell us a little about that. Was there cursing?
Yeah, it was a lot of profanity on his side. I kind of, I said what I said and left it as that, and that's when he blew up.
Did you tell him why you were concerned about him being around your truck?
Yes.
All right, what did you tell him?
I let him know that we took money in this truck and I don't need him walking around this truck. He said, I should shoot you, kill you. I said, well, I'm not afraid to die. If you're gonna do that, well, he walked back to his vehicle. I didn't see any firearm, but he kind of walked back up on me.
At that point in time, did you feel like you might have to get into an altercation?
Yes.
Did you?
No.
You never saw a firearm?
Never saw a firearm.
You saw him go to the car?
Yes.
Come out?
Yes.
You thought maybe an altercation?
Yes.
What happened then?
Then Ali came out the store and kind of like de-escalated the situation. Rick just calmed down. I said, you know what, Ali? That's what I'll do. Got in my truck and left.
The victim's girlfriend testified about what she experienced during the confrontation with the defendant and the shooting.
Once that gun came out, what did you do?
I retreated to the left.
Okay. And would that be towards the back of your car or the front of your car?
To the back.
Did you have an opportunity to see what Marquise was doing once that firearm came out?
He was treating also. He was backing up, and he couldn't back up no farther because the car was there.
Okay. So you had a clear view of that?
Yeah.
Jennifer, I'm going to say another eyewitness.
When the gun came out, did you hear Marquise say anything to the defendant?
There was silence.
Okay. And by silent, does that mean that the defendant wasn't saying anything to Marquise as well?
Everybody was quiet.
Okay. So once the push happened, there was silence?
Yes.
What was the defendant doing at that point in time?
He was aiming the gun. Aiming at Marquise.
Okay. And did the defendant shoot Marquise?
Yes.
Was that after Marquise went backwards?
Yes.
Prior to that shot being fired, did Marquise go forwards at all?
No.
Okay, just went backwards, that's it.
Yes.
Did you see whether or not Marquise did anything else?
Yeah, he had hold his side and he went towards the store.
Another eyewitness you saw in that surveillance footage described what he saw happen.
Does the black male scream any threats to the defendant?
No.
Does the black female go up and try to attack the defendant?
No.
Right before the black male pushes the defendant, what's the black female doing?
She was just standing there.
All right. And once the black male pushed the defendant down, did anyone say anything at all to anybody?
No.
Was it completely quiet?
Yes.
After the defendant is on the ground, what happens next?
He basically rolled on his right side and pulled a gun out.
All right, let's talk about that. When the defendant fell on the ground, did you hear any words, you know, ow, or pain, or anything along those lines?
No.
Okay. Did he voice in any way that he was injured at all?
No.
Did you watch him take out his firearm?
Yes.
Did he have any difficulty pulling out that firearm?
No.
When you saw the firearm come out, what did you do?
I took steps to my right and got between two parked cars.
Tell the jury what the black male did.
Backed up.
Okay. Could he keep going back?
The car was behind him, so no, he couldn't go any further back where he was.
Okay. When he couldn't go any further backwards, what did you see that black male do?
Turned towards the store and went towards the front door.
During a police interrogation, the defendant described his heated confrontation of the victim's girlfriend. Let's compare what he told police with the recording the defendant claimed would back up his story.
I got hit from the left side and turned straight backwards in line with her car. I was standing like this talking to her. I was hit from right here. The shoulder was pulled in front of me, and then I was... Oh, okay, and then I hit the ground. Okay, I was on the ground. So at that time, I had to put hand down to get hand out from underneath. As I come out, I start drawing my weapon. As I start leveling up my weapon, he makes his next step towards me, and 21-foot rule. I'm on the ground already.
Right.
Okay. It happened so fast, and that was that.
Did he say anything to you?
Negative. Not a word.
Okay.
Did you say anything to him?
No.
Like back up?
No.
How many steps did he make?
Just one step.
Okay. And then that was that. Tell me, talk to me about that. What do you do from there?
I made sure there's no other threat around him because it spun him a little bit and he ran into the store. Immediate threat gone.
I did have her as a potential on him beforehand, before you fired the gun.
Before you fired the gun?
Yes.
Once you pull the gun out?
Yes.
Okay. You said he stepped towards you?
Yeah.
Because I made one more step.
Right. He made one more step towards me.
And then
I didn't say a word.
Okay.
It was already out.
Okay, what do you do?
If
fire him a weapon.
How many times did you fire him?
One time, sir.
Okay. Do you think the video would show him charging it?
It should.
Okay.
There should be an angle right on that parking spot.
Okay. What happens if I told you that I looked at the video and at no time point does he come running up towards you? He actually takes a step back.
I would disagree.
Four attorneys are with us tonight watching that video very closely. Let's start with Eklund Mercy in Atlanta and Gabriella Gonzalez in Miami. So, Gigi, what do you make of this? Is the defendant misperceiving what happened, or is he lying about what happened?
You know, it could be a little bit of both. When you're in this situation, a fight or flight situation, everything's kind of going crazy and everything's moving a million miles a minute. But... and I don't know if the viewers were able to see it, but we were able to listen to the defendant's recantation of the events on to the officers at the same time as the video surveillance capturing the scene. And it's completely off. He says that he pulled out his gun and the defendant stepped and the victim stepped toward him, when in actuality, the victim had stepped away from him at that point. So it's really interesting to listen to his testimony, his version of the events that happened, in conjunction with the video that displays what actually happened.
I think that's a compliment to our editing here, because we wanted to show it in relation to what happened. So Eklund Mercy here, look, it looks to me like the victim takes a step forward after the shove, but then immediately starts backing up. So is it that the defendant perceived the extra step forward, but then was blacking out everything else that happened?
The defendant knew what he was trying to do. He had intent. He has the MO of terrorizing people that park in that parking spot. He has a perceived victim, which is black males. He has done this before. He was waiting for the series of events in which he can pull out his gun and shoot and kill somebody. You saw how he came out that car. He came out of that car like he was some sheriff in some make-believe movie trying to terrorize people. He terrorized McLaughlin's girlfriend to the point that she felt she had to come out the car. And then when he found out that she was not by herself, he then he was pushed and waited for that exact time to pull out the deadly bullet. If he was truly afraid, as Brian stated before, you would do a few shots. No, he did one kill shot, and that's what happened.
Okay, Gwendolyn, I want to ask you very quickly here. You know, this boils down to a legal question of reasonableness. Was what the defendant did reasonable given the evidence here?
No, absolutely not. And I just took a look at the video and I saw that the defendant was very calculated. He, after he was shoved to the ground, there were about 2 or 3 seconds. The victim stepped back. And I saw that defendant get into a very professional prone position. He looked like a hitman and then he shot him. So he was observing the victim to see what he was going to do as if he was looking for an excuse to shoot him. He knew that the victim stepped back.
Here did have training, certainly.
He certainly did.
Yeah, well, we're going to wait for the jury to sort this one out in that case, because still ahead here on The Debrief, a strange twist on key testimony from a defendant's ex-girlfriend in a Tennessee case which left one man dead. Did the defendant need protection? Was he under attack? And did the defendant legally have reason to pull the trigger? That's when we return. Welcome back, everybody. The jury has the case of a young Tennessee man accused of killing an older man who he claims molested his girlfriend. 25-year-old Sean Foley admits gunning down 44-year-old Jimmy Shelton, but Foley says he did it out of self-defense. Foley says Shelton attacked him after learning Foley recorded evidence of Shelton engaged in a sex act with Foley's own girlfriend. Prosecutors, however, say the shooting is premeditated murder and they want to send Foley to prison for life. We brought you much of the defendant's testimony live right here on The Debrief yesterday. Today, arguments in court over whether the girlfriend needed the defendant's protection. Here's her original testimony about what led up to the shooting.
I was drinking vodka. Sean had only had a couple of shots of vodka that I was aware of. Jimmy was drinking Southern Comfort with tea.
The defendant goes inside. Why did the defendant go inside this night?
I had asked him to get me a shot of vodka.
What's happening on the back porch while he's gone?
Me and Jimmy were talking. I was asking him why he did the things that he did in the past, and it just escalated from there.
Okay. When you say it escalated from there, what do you mean?
He propositioned me in order to get a car.
Okay. Were you a willing participant in that conversation?
Yes.
Was there anything about that conversation that was forced by Mr. Jimmy Shelton?
No.
Did he ever force himself on you?
No.
Well, now, what was the deal that you all were working out?
He was trying to look at me and maybe touch me or have me get with some friends and, like, record stuff so that he could see it or him record it himself. I don't really remember all the details of the conversation. Okay.
So at some point, do you remember whether your pants were down during this evening?
Yes, I know. When Sean walked out, my pants were down.
Remember, the defendant was recording this. Next, the prosecutor asked the girlfriend about whether she gave consent and whether the victim attacked the defendant.
Can you tell us about what happened when Sean walked out?
I pulled my pants up and Jimmy stood up, and that's when Sean started yelling at Jimmy. He told Jimmy to stop touching me.
Was Jimmy touching you when he came out?
I think he had his hand on my leg, but I don't really remember.
Did you ask Sean for help?
No.
Did you call for help?
No.
Did you scream for help?
No.
Did you need help from the defendant that night?
No.
Is the contact between you and Jimmy Shelton consensual that night?
Yes.
Was that meant to be the contact that was going to get you the car?
Yes.
How much is the car worth?
I don't know. We hadn't furthered any discussion.
Do you know what kind of car it was going to be?
No.
Do you know if he had made any arrangements to get you the car already?
I found out later, yes.
Did Jimmy ever tackle Sean?
I didn't see it happen.
Okay. What caused the defendant to shoot Jimmy Shelton?
I'm not sure.
The girlfriend said she had been molested by the victim when she was younger. Her testimony on direct was damaging to the defense, so the defense called her back to the stand. Listen to this exchange and compare what she said in the back of a squad car after the shooting with her testimony in court.
Ms. Goddard, were you too intoxicated to remember what happened?
Yes.
Why was Mr. Shelton not prosecuted for molesting you?
Your Honor, I'm going to object. That is not up to her. Leave her. Yes, ma'am.
Did you need Sean's protection?
No.
Were you being molested?
No.
Your Honor, Officer Galloway's cruiser cam. Your Honor, it's a prior inconsistent statement.
Oh, my God. He was only trying to protect me. Please. He was trying to molest me. Please. Please. Sean was trying to protect me. Jimmy was trying to molest me and make deals. Again, please.
Ms. Goddard, did you ever say that Jimmy had molested you on the 28th?
Yes, I did say that.
Okay. In the back of a police car, was that where you were when you said it?
Yes, it was.
Did you ever say that Sean was that Sean was protecting you?
Yes, I did say that.
What were you saying Sean was protecting you from?
Jimmy.
Did at some point you tell the detectives that he was protecting you from yourself?
Yes, I did.
Why did you say in the back of the police car that he was molesting you?
Trauma? I don't know.
Okay, the jury did not hear the girlfriend's actual squad car recording, but did hear that testimony. Let's listen now to the defendant's own recording, which captured the sound of the shooting.
All that's on recording that's recording right now. I swear to God, you sick. You with her again, and I will drop you.
Sean, stop.
No, that's not your spot. Stop. That's too Sean! No! Come here now! He was molesting her. I have it all on recording.
Did you shoot him?
Yes, he was molesting her.
Prosecutors said during closings that the defendant made a premeditated attack. The defense said Sean Foley pulled the trigger to protect himself from an attack which the victim launched on him because of that confrontation that you just listened to. Let's go back to the panel for perspective. Brian Buckmeyer, Gwendolyn Lindsay Jackson with me here in New York. So, Brian, do you believe anything that comes out of the girlfriend's mouth at this point? She's all over the place. She says in the squad car she was being protected, that this was a molestation, and then she's saying, oh, no, that's not what it was. It was some consensual act because I was going to get a car out of it.
I don't believe her, but I think if anyone's going to put any credit to her, it's going to be the prior statement that is made closer in time. That's the statement I think they're going to go with if they are going to believe her at all.
Okay, and what's the upshot of that, then, that it helps the defendant?
Correct. So I think the reason why we might not get a verdict anytime soon is because there's probably a number of camps in the jury right now. There's a camp that says this wasn't self-defense, he's probably guilty. And there's another camp that says, if someone's molesting my girlfriend, daughter, sister, any woman in my life, that person's got to go regardless of the law. And I think that's what they're really fighting over.
Okay, so does this turn into a trial against the victim, Gwendolyn? Because, the evidence is shaking out. Look, let me back up for a minute. There was some testimony that, oh, nobody believes that he actually did this, that this is all made up. But if we do believe it, then we're putting the victim on trial here, not the defendant.
Absolutely. You are putting him on trial. You're putting his character on trial. And then who is this victim? This victim is married to this woman's mother, okay? And, you could probably say that, well, he deserved it. He's being put on trial. And that's really unfortunate.
Okay, so is it proper then to convict the defendant? Is the jury going to null-pros this, basically, nullify it? I mean, Brian, you're nodding your head yes.
Yeah, I think this is jury nullification. I think this is that if you look at the law, in Tennessee, I've been looking and scratching. I don't think there's a self-defense to stop the commission of a felony that there might be in New York State. And that would have been one of the greatest theories to go under because I'm basically stopping a rape. But it's jury nullification.
Wow. We're going to wait and see how the jury comes out with that. Appreciate the panelists tonight from all across the country. That's all the time we have here on The Debrief. Our coverage begins tomorrow at 9 a.m. Good night.